Alrighty, people, welcome back to episode 28 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. Now, before we get started, guys, for everyone who's a continuous listener, you know the drill by now. There's a few shit that we gotta get through before we can start off today's episode properly. The first is a massive thank you to everybody that shows me their continuous love and support in the progress of this podcast series. So please, if you like what you're listening to, drop me a review, whatever platform it may be that you're listening to, be it on Apple Podcasts, be it on Google Podcasts, be it on Spotify, be it on YouTube, or any of the podcast dictionary apps that you may be using. Please give me some feedback. Even hit me up on Instagram, Primal Alchemy UK, and let me know what your thoughts are, because it really does mean the world to me and helps me better this podcast in the future. So as a massive thank you, I always give you guys an exclusive 10% discount code. That's the code REDPILL. Again, that's the code REDPILL, that when used on checkout, you're getting an exclusive 10% off anything within your shopping basket at primalalchemy.co.uk. So if this is your first time being introduced to the Primal Alchemy brand, this is your perfect opportunity, guys, to jump on board and grab yourself a Vitruvian protein. That's our flagship organic whey protein superfood blend. It's forged with adaptogenic, nootropic, prebiotic herbs, high vibrational superfoods, and it's flavored with a delicious raw Criolla cacao. So this is your perfect opportunity again. Try it out. Jump on the hype train while it's still hot. Also, guys, if you're not into supplements, we also do our ancestral potential coaching plans. This gives you the perfect opportunity to work with me one-to-one, be that in exercise, nutrition, or in biohacking. We've got plans to suit everybody's desires and goals. So again, check it out at primalalchemy.co.uk. All right, so moving on to today's episode, we have Mr. Brian Gall on. Brian is the co-founder of Red Light Rising, which is a brand that specializes in creating a real premium high-end red light therapeutic devices. And Brian is a personal friend of mine. I met him a few, probably about half a year ago or so. And yeah, we just got pretty close since then. We went back and forth with each other. I've had him take my product, which he really loves, and I've tried out his product, which I really love. And me and him just share a lot in common. And on this episode, we cover quite a lot of shit. We cover Brian's own interest in red light therapy and how he created the Red Light Rising brand with his co-founder, James, which is another friend of mine. So shout out to James if you're listening, bro. And we also talk about the benefits of following your bliss, following your passion, not following the status quo, being stoic in today's modern age, and how to have control over your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts, and how that can help you achieve higher levels of performance. And we also pretty much just talk about our nutritional plans and protocols that me and Brian are currently undergoing. We talk about the carnivore diet. We talk a little bit about veganism. Brian switched from the vegan diet to a vegetarian diet to just full-blown carnivore. We cover our training protocols. I talk a little bit about CrossFit with Brian. Just overall, just having a good talk. Brian is a solid fella, full-spectrum human, and I really appreciate having him in my life since meeting him. And hopefully you guys enjoy this one. There's, as I said, very broad spectrum in the topics we cover, but very down to earth, very grounded at the same time. I know that some of my podcasts can get a little bit woo woo and a little bit up in the heavens, but this one's good, guys. I think you're really going to resonate with it. And again, hope you enjoy. So Morpheus, fucking hell, Morpheus, tell these fools what's up.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual, we find balance with all three as we focus on totality, the whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path, looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar. and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use a nature to heal with a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal, and your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self-mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey, but we up to empower with this Red Pill Initiation Hour. With this Red Pill Initiation Hour, brought to you by Primal Alchemy.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three, two, one, and we're live, guys. We're back with episode 28 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. Big episode, guys, coming up. This one, we're going to shine some light, excuse the pun, on how to become optimized as fuck. Pretty much, guys. This one is a, been looking forward to this episode for a while. The guest is a friend of mine who I met last year in London at the, this new sort of biohacking meetup group that's, really starting to pick up steam and get the momentum going and pushing this movement in the UK. And yeah, I met this fella and it turns out he runs his own brand as well. We got pretty tight. I've slept on his floor in his house. You could say we're pretty tight. Say that we're bros. So, I just want to give a massive welcome to Red Light Rising co-founder, Mr. Brian Goll.
Hey, how are you doing, bro? Amazing, dude. Thank you so much for that great introduction. And just so you know, had I had a bed available, I would have let you sleep in a bed instead of on the floor.
It's fine, brother. I'd sleep on the floor anyway. That's another weird fact about myself.
You're a soldier.
Yeah, I do. I sleep on the floor, but I'm not gonna dig any deeper into that because people already think I'm a weirdo as it is. So, yeah, Brian. I mean, great to have you on. And me and you go back and forth all the time anyway. And yeah, I just wanted to get you on where we can just kind of just talk about what we normally talk about. Yeah, this time it's recorded. Cool. And people can have a good time, a little laugh along the way, and learn some new shit as we drop some bombs, some truth bombs. So, Brian, for people that aren't familiar with who you are and what you're about, like, who's Brian Goll, man? Like, how did you get to where you are to today? And yeah, give us a little bit of a rundown about yourself.
Cool. Okay, that's a tough question. Those questions, you know, who are you? You know, what do you do? Yeah, so I'm just a normal guy that, you know, had some health issues, suffered a little bit with my health, and, you know, at the same time wasn't living up to what I wanted to be, you know. Like, I had this vision since I was a real, real young kid. I had this vision of just being like strong and muscular and healthy. And about a decade or, you know, 12 years ago, I realized that, you know, I was so far from that mark. And I was just in a real bad way in terms of health, you know, like I wasn't overweight. I wasn't like, you know, like really sick, but I just wasn't where I wanted to be. You know, if I looked around at that time at my mentors and my heroes, they were all very large, muscular men. And I wasn't, you know, muscular in any way, shape and form, unfortunately, you know. And looking back, you know, I kind of realized that was, you know, at that time I was vegetarian. You know, I was vegetarian for about 7 years because, like a lot of vegetarians and vegans out there, you know, I believed that was the healthiest way to be, not only for my health, but the health of the planet. So, you know, I threw myself, you know, head first into vegetarianism and, you know, really, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, like I like vegetables, I like fruit, I like nuts and seeds. And, you know, it's when all these cool, like cacao and maca and spirulina and chia seeds, all that stuff, like hit the UK. And I started making these amazing smoothies. And, you know, my vegetable intake went through the roof. You know, I was eating 12, 13, 14 portions of fruit and veg a day. And unfortunately, you know, over the, you know, the 7 year period, well, pretty soon actually after becoming vegetarian, my health just started to decline. You know, it wasn't, you know, you wouldn't look at me and say I was unhealthy, but my joints started to hurt. That was a big thing for me. I started to get this joint pain and my digestion started to suffer. I started having bouts of either diarrhea or constipation on and off, you know, for 7 years on and off. And by the end of the 7 years, my joint pain was so severe that I had to stop practicing yoga. I was, you know, been practicing yoga for a long time already at that point. I had to stop practicing yoga because I couldn't even do a downward dog because the pressure on my wrists would leave me with wrist pain for days. And working out, you know, trying to build muscle was completely out the window because, you know, every now and then I'd try and do some push-ups or try and do some pull-ups and I would have muscle and joint pain for weeks afterwards to recover from a, you know, a basic 10-minute workout. And, you know, that kind of, when you're like 23, 24 years old, like when that starts happening to your body, like, you know, you get into a weird headspace, you know, like not feeling strong. Man. You know, at a young man, you're supposed to be feeling strong, you know.
It's so, emasculating.
Exactly. You know, so I was in a real, real shit spot there for quite a while, you know. And I look back on it now and I call it my vegetarian yogi identity. Because I think what happens, you know, in the vegan and the vegetarian community is that we become identified with it. You know, you absorb all this propaganda that vegetarianism is better for you and better for the planet. So you start to identify with that because then you feel like, well, I'm doing the best I possibly can. So I've got a little bit of a moral high ground here, which is exactly what happened to me. You know, I got on my moral high horse and I was spreading vegetarianism wherever I went because I believed it was the best thing to do, but you know, never mind the fact that my health was actually declining and I wasn't living the lifestyle that I had idealized for myself. So it's a crazy place to be in, you know. And thank God, for whatever reason, I somehow managed to keep an open mind, and you know, I kept learning about food, I kept learning about health, and you know, even though like I had very bad health, I kept reading out of interest and having conversations with people. And then one chance conversation in about 2015, I think, having a conversation with I was in Australia. I was working on a permaculture farm and working alongside the farm woman herself. And, you know, she was mid-60s at that point, and we started talking about food or whatever. And she said, yeah, me and my husband were vegan for 20 years and my husband was sick for 20 years. The whole time he was vegan, he was sick. So like now my ears perked up. I'm like, hang on, wait a second. Like this is ringing a bell. And she just carried on and she said, yeah, you know, so we tried raw vegan, cooked vegan. We ate only white vegetables, then only purple vegetables, then only fruit. And then, you know, she said for 20 years, I tried every incarnation of the vegan diet that I could think of to try and heal my husband and nothing helped. And then she said to him one day, she said, there's only one more thing to try and that's meat. And he reluctantly said, okay, well, I've been sick for 20 years, so may as well try a little bit of meat. And lo and behold, he started eating meat again. And within days, he started feeling better. His energy came back. His strength came back. His mood improved. His mental clarity came back. And now I'm standing there as a sick vegetarian hearing this from a 20-year-long vegan. And I'm like, oh, my God, is that it? Is it the lack of meat that's had me, you know, my body falling apart for the last 7 years and, you know, waking up every morning wondering, am I going to shit my pants today or am I going to be constipated? Which way is it going to be? Do you know what I mean? For 7 years. So then and there I was like, oh, and then there was a nurse standing, you know, part of the conversation. And she said to me, oh yeah, there's this, you know, this theory of eat right for your blood type going around, that certain blood types do better on certain foods. So I was like, okay, you know, straight away Google that. And I found the book, bought the book, and lo and behold, my blood type O negative is what they call, you know, the original blood type. It's apparently the old.
Have you got negative blood?
Yeah, O negative. Yeah.
Oh mate, do you know much about that?
I don't. Do you know?
Hey. Oh shit, oh, Brian. I never knew that you had negative blood. Fucking hell, damn, man. Rabbit hole is about to open. Oh,
take me down.
Mate, you've got the royal bloodline. Like the O negative blood is a very special blood. Obviously, there's many theories regarding this, but essentially the negative bloodline, man, that's the Atlantean bloodline. That's the bloodline of the gods. Ooh. That's why you should be proud. Yeah, the Illuminati have got their eye on you, brother. They're going to be like, well, Mr. Brian Gall, we're keeping an eye on you, mate. It's like you're part of the family. You're part of the bloodline. And Rhesus negative blood. So basically, when it comes to blood types, you're either positive or negative when it says Rh positive, Rh negative. And what that is it's the rhesus protein antigen, which is found in the blood. And that comes from the rhesus monkey. So it's commonly found there. And if it's found, that's why it's called the rhesus positive or negative. And if you've got it, that's kind of where the old joke comes from. It's like monkey blood. Is in like you're like the common people are the monkey bloods because their blood's not pure, it's contaminated with the rhesus antigen. And yeah, that's why royal families for thousands of years interbreed and are very into eugenics in that they keep their bloodlines pure with other families of the same blood type because it keeps that lineage very controlled. And people are I can't remember his name. Fuck, that's going to annoy me. I think he's called like Dr. Stephen Vescher. Fuck. Well, basically, there's a lot of new research into blood and what it actually is. And the blood is essentially the medium between the body and the spirit.
Okay.
And by keeping the bloodline pure for thousands of years and understanding the magical properties and essence of blood, it has allowed these certain families, these certain bloodlines, to keep a direct connection to their ancestors within the spiritual realm, within the higher realms, using ritual, using whatever means necessary in order to contact the outer body, if you get what I'm saying. And it's very interesting, man, because it's a very small percentage of people in the world that hold this negative blood. And I think it appeared around 30,000 years ago when the Cro-Magnon humanoid made its first recorded appearance on the planet. And there's still a lot about it that's not understood. There's still a lot of research to be done into it. But it's interesting because if you take a female with let's say O negative blood, and she mates with a male who has positive blood, there is an internal defense mechanism in that her blood will kind of try and destroy the fetus in development because it's been contaminated with this positive blood.
Whoa.
And yeah, there's a lot of deep shit, man. Trust there. Do you get stuff in the post asking you to do blood tests and send blood and give blood?
No, I mean, I used to donate blood before I got tattooed. And that's when I kind of realized that it was my blood type was rare because they were like, oh my God, you've got O negative. We need you to come back every week because O negative, they can give to anybody. It can be accepted by anybody's body. So they're like, you're super rare. We need you to come back every week. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. I was going back often, and then when I got tattooed, they were like, oh, you have to wait a few months and then we need to test your blood. And then I just kind of, you know, whatever, I went traveling and haven't donated blood since then. But it's super interesting. I'm definitely going to look more into that.
Yeah, and I swear there's something. It's like most people that are O negative or just negative in general, Rh negative, they tend to be a lot more psychic. They tend to have a lot more intuitive abilities. They might be more interested in alternative thinking, in spirituality. They might be more open to it, more sensitive. They might have crazy lucid dreams. They may have out of body experiences on the regular. They might feel themselves drawn to careers like, yeah, more spiritual based paths. And there's loads of interesting things, man. I feel like I'm gonna paraphrase this, so guys, if you're listening, do not fucking chomp my hand off on this, but I'm pretty sure that there is a higher copper content in Rh negative blood, and when it's exposed to oxygen it turns blue, which is where the term blue blood comes from. So the way that you metabolize and utilize oxygen in the system is different than people with the Rh positive blood. Oh man, it's so deep. You can trace it. Like if you look at the areas of the world that have the in terms of per square mile, how, like, the density of people with Rh negative blood. You've got the Basques, which are in the mountain regions of Spain. I can't remember what the mountain region's called, but everybody knows the Basques. Uh-huh. They're like a isolated community. And then you've got, there's a community, I can't again remember their names, fucking bad on me this, in Argentina, which is another one. And there's a few little isolated pockets of civilization around the world, and they keep that bloodline very pure. This is not even taking into account elites or rural families or anything like that. And if you ask them what are their heritage, they say that they are the descendants of a lost civilization. A civilization that kind of like, which goes in hand with what I always spread on about, is that we're the descendants of the gods. Ooh. And you specifically, lucky fuck.
I knew I was going to enjoy this podcast. All right.
Yeah, man. Well, it's trust. That's a rabbit hole that you could do a whole podcast on. But for keeping things in line, yeah, carry on with the story, bro. It just caught my eye then. It just triggered me when I heard
I'm glad it did.
No way. Yeah, man. Fuck, you're probably going to be related to like George Bush or something. You've probably got some satanic shit going on in your bloodline somewhere.
Okay, now I'm going to have to Google that. Now, interesting what you said there about they tend to have like a higher intuition, because that's something I mean, it's a weird thing to say about yourself, like, oh, my intuition's really great. But it really, really is, because, you know, over the years, like, as crazy as this sounds, okay, so when I went vegetarian, I was practicing a lot of yoga at the time as well. So as you know, at some point, if someone's serious about yoga, at some point, one of their teachers or one of the scriptures they come across is going to say, you know, you will have an easier spiritual time if you become vegetarian. So that's something that most yogis come across. As you know, veganism is very intertwined with yoga. So when I became vegetarian while I was practicing yoga, I did feel a slight, I got a few extra points on the spiritual scale. You know, I felt a little bit more in tune. I definitely started paying a lot more attention to my intuition. Now, I don't know if that was related to the vegetarianism or the yoga, but I mean, I definitely think it was related to the yoga, because I became a lot more aware of my body and my body sensations. And I started paying a lot more attention to my intuition, and my intuition is uncannily accurate. But the problem is that whenever I get intuition, like usually about people, like I'll meet someone in a situation and they'll be acting as if they are X, Y, Z. And my intuition is just going freaking crazy, and my alarm bells are ringing inside. But outside, I'm smiling and I'm going, hey, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. And I walk away thinking, nah, man, that dude is full of shit. But then I say to myself, hey, bro, don't judge. Be open to a new experience. So I say, okay, I'm going to give this guy the benefit of the doubt and engage in, you know, whatever, some kind of relationship, some kind of friendship, some kind of a deal, whatever. And then lo and behold, 8 times out of 10, a few weeks or months down the line, the person proves themselves to be what my intuition was telling me they were. And I'm like, God damn, again, I didn't listen to my intuition. And again, I've been caught out. So I find it really curious that, you know, you mentioned that about intuition. And I'm also, you know, I just don't know, like, when do you pay undivided attention to your intuition, or when do you put it aside and say, okay, I'm going to remain open to a new experience? Have you got an opinion on that?
Yeah, man, you listen to it all the time.
Okay.
that's your true intelligence, man. That's the true intelligence. Your intuition is connected to your higher self, your higher source, and it's never wrong. It may depending on how you validate that, but it's never wrong. It's always going to be right in some aspect. And I think that's right. Like, if you meet someone for the first time on a conscious level, you see what they're about and what they have to say. But if you're like, that's what I mean, like, we're so programmed now, the way that we're the sort of the socially built to be very left hemisphere controlled, in that we value IQ, that sort of intellect, and we don't value body intelligence, emotional intelligence, intuition, And when you learn how to sort of synchronize the two, that's when you get the full picture. And when you're meeting someone for the first time, there is so much more that's going on than just you taking in your five senses. Whatever stimuli is being presented to you that your brain is decoding, the electrical stimulation from the five senses that it's bringing in, there's a shit ton that's going on behind the scenes. And your intuition is like one of those lost senses that we've really sort of drifted away from our ability to use it and use it wisely. And yeah, we like, as soon as someone walks into our energy field, information that is merging with your informational field, and you'll be able to know them. You get that off. Like sometimes you might be walking down a dark alley at night. This is like real hype. This is like a real sort of like example I'm just throwing out. You could be walking around a dark alley and you're like, I probably shouldn't go down there. Don't feel like that's going to be a good idea. And you decide not to. And then a few seconds later, a gang walk past in the direction that you would have been going down. Mm. So it's little things like that, that if you're in touch with this, your body's telling you. But the thing is that it's like we can't communicate in its language because we're not in touch. Yeah. So it's like the body's talking to you in Spanish, but you only talk English. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the fuck? I don't have a clue what that's saying. And then next thing you know, you're getting filled in by like five guys. And yeah, you end up in hospital for the night. Yeah. But very interesting that you asked that, man. But I truly do believe that that intuition is so powerful. And you can link that to like physiological responses as well, to do with like the gut brain connection. And when you get that gut feeling, yeah, and then you're looking at, there's a lot of other things that you can tie into the spectrum of intuition. Mm-hmm. But as a totality, I really do think that if you have got a strong intuition, never turn your back to it, because it's there to serve you. It has your interests, like your higher interests. And the more you begin to follow it, the stronger it will become. Mm-hmm. And the more you will be able to have direct communication with it, in that you'll be able to analyze what it's saying in the moment, process what it's saying, and make a decision in the moment, instead of taking time to be like, that guy was a little bit shady as fuck. I need to kind of be keep on my toes with that guy. And then you never know where that's going to lead you. But yeah, carry on, Brian. Sorry about that, man. I kind of just went off on a tangent then. Yeah. But yeah,
cool. Yeah, no, it's appreciate your input. That's yeah, very true. Yeah, so as I was saying, yeah, so no, then, you know, this woman, like this nurse, she suggested to me, oh, you know, eat right for your type, the supposed blood type diet connection. And, you know, when I read it, and, you know, I knew that I was O negative at the time, and O negative is, you know, the original bloodline, who was, you know, the oldest, you know, humans that we kind of know of, the hunter gatherers, you know, and this blood type supposedly thrives on a meat based diet. So I was like, oh my God, in the course of one afternoon, I had like my entire paradigm like shattered of my, you know, supposed like superior vegetarian diet. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to at least try and start eating meat again and see what happens. You know, and luckily I was never against the taste of meat. It was never that. It, you know, growing up in South Africa, obviously meat is a massive part of the diet. Yeah. It was just, you know, like what the vegans do is they bombard you with this horrific propaganda about how these animals are tortured and mutilated and battered and abused, which, you know, I know is true. It definitely does happen. But the way they use it to suggest that this is how all meat is procured, this is how all animals are treated, you know, in my opinion, I think that's what it is. It's propaganda designed to make you feel disgusting that you stop eating animals. Yeah, so then I, you know, slowly started eating meat, and, you know, for the first couple of years, and noticed an improvement straight away. I mean, I felt a bit more robust. I felt I had more energy. I slowly started feeling stronger. But what I did was I continued eating a shitload of vegetables and a shitload of, you know, smoothies and juices and raw salads and all that. I was just adding meat to it. So, you know, I was starting to feel better, but, you know, my digestion was still struggling, and my digestion struggled for another couple of years after that. And, you know, my joints got better, but it wasn't, you know, I wasn't back to normal, as it were. I wasn't back to optimal. And then I stumbled across the bulletproof diet, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be aware of. Dave Asprey is a biohacker and an advocate of the low carb, high fat diet. So I started reading this Bulletproof Diet and I was like, wait a minute. This book is saying that fat is the best form of energy for the body and that carbohydrates are linked to all these other lifestyle diseases and this poor health that one might experience. I was like, wait a second. I thought fat was bad and we had to avoid fat. And now here's this book saying that fat is the answer to everything. I was like, what the hell? So then I started cross-referencing and I started reading other books by Mark Sisson and John Durant and the Paleo Manifesto and all these other books that were talking about this low-carb, high-fat diet. And I was like, oh my – and a lot of books just talking about the negative side of carbohydrates and wheat and, you know, sugar and all that. And I was like, whoa. Like when I put all this information together, it painted this incredible picture of a way to get back to health by reducing your carbohydrates and upping your animal fat. And I was like, wow, okay, I'm going to have to try this, you know. So then, as they say, I went bulletproof. I started drinking bulletproof coffee, adding, you know, all the butter and all the oil to my coffee. I started, you know, eliminating rice and bread and pasta and sugar and fruit and candy and, and really was just eating the green veg and the meat and the fat. That's when I started seeing massive improvements. My joints, like I literally describe it to people that as when I started eating all this oil and fat, you know, the butter, the cheese, the olive oil, the coconut oil, the MCT oil, the ghee, when I started adding all this fat into my diet, it was literally like this fat was lubricating my body. That's the metaphor I use. It was lubricating my joints. The joint pain was significantly reduced throughout my body in a matter of weeks. I started practicing yoga again. I started feeling stronger again. And that just kind of, you know, really kind of caught my attention. I was like, oh my God, I'm really onto something here. And then, you know, I think with a lot of us, what happens is you start on a bulletproof diet or the paleo diet, and then you eventually stumble across the keto diet, the ketogenic diet, which is very much the same thing, you know, very, very low carb and very, very high fat diet. It kind of extols even more virtue of this high fat diet. So then I became keto and was eating way less vegetables and way more fat. And lo and behold, my digestion started getting better. And I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, wait a second. So you're telling me that what was harming my body for all these years was the broccoli and the kale and the spinach and the tomato and the raw salads and the giant vegetable smoothies and all this stuff that I was, you know, led to believe was the ultimate diet for the human body was actually ruining my body. And I could not believe it. Keto, you know, like, which is like, you'll know right now is a big trend. And what's also becoming a big trend is the carnivore diet. And I think you've had a couple of people talking about the carnivore diet, but, you know, so about 6 months ago, I was, you know, the carnivore diet really kind of came onto my radar. And I was like, wait a second, people are just eating meat. How the fuck does this work? Do you know what I mean? But I was like, hey, you know, like bulletproof worked, keto worked. So, you know, I might as well take it to the extreme and do an experiment with carnivore and eat just meat and see what happens with that. And lo and behold, surprise, surprise, went strict carnivore for about 3 months and my joints have completely repaired. I have zero joint pain. I'm back to running, sprinting, skipping, working out, lifting heavy weights, practicing yoga, doing it every single day, almost no breaks necessary. I'm putting on muscle. I'm burning fat. My cravings have almost completely disappeared. It has been an absolute, you know, mind blown that eating just meat can have these incredible benefits. And, you know, I'm not strict carnivore anymore. Now I consider myself, you know, what I call cyclical carnivore, because I do find that I am able to work out better if I have a little bit of carbs in my body. So I'm, you know, I have strategic carb meals where I'll have, you know, a nice portion of sweet potato or brown rice along with my meat and along with my oil. And I'm finding at this stage, like, that's giving me fantastic results. I'm sleeping well, I'm working out well. It's been a hell of a journey, and, you know, and here I am today.
Yeah, quite some story, brother. And it's an interesting story of really putting in the work and not, like you said, man, not getting caught up in identity, in ideologies of what you felt was, or what you believed to be the, for the greater good. And it's, at the end of the day, it's all about you.
Exactly.
It's all about you. You save yourself, you save the world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you gotta go through these cycles. And it's one of those things, like, you know, man, me and you go back and forth quite a bit about veganism, vegetarianism, carnivorism, ketogenic diet. And it's interesting because it's like, when you take it to the extreme with the veganism, I mean, okay, you're smashing all of this veg and fruit. That's just sugar. And it's not just sugar. It's sugar combined with anti-nutrients. So you've got your oxalates, your phytic acid, your lectins, your avenin. You've got all of these anti-nutrients that are going to stop the assimilation of any of the minerals that are found within the plant body itself. And then what are you getting? You're just getting sugar and fiber, mm-hmm. but then pretty much sugar. And it's very interesting because our ancestral diet, they had ways of working around this. They would ferment the food, they would sprout the food, and this would get rid of that and really increase the nutritional density of the food as well. And I've kind of got my own thing going with what I'm about. Like, I love the carnivore shit. I love the ketogenic shit, and I don't love veganism. Sorry, guys. But I've got my sort of own thing, which is kind of like, essentially, like you said, like you're doing like cyclical, carnivorism. I'm doing kind of like I class it as like an ancestral diet, but it's more, I call it like, well, the program that I've got on primalalchemy.co.uk, I call it the quantum fuel diet. Mm-hmm. So it's all about electrons and photons. That's my concern. The fats are important, yeah, don't get me wrong. And some of the micronutrients are important, yeah, don't get me wrong. But I'm about electrons and I'm about photons. That's what I'm about. And you, like, for example, in a vegan diet, a mainstream vegan diet, if someone's dialed in, then you can take care of this. But a mainstream vegan diet who is just someone that's just on board and they go and buy shit from the supermarket and don't know what they're on about, you need omega-3s and omega-6 fatty acids in order to, basically what that does is that they create or they promote the electron clouds outside of the cellular membrane. And what you want the inside of the cell, so the cellular nuclei, to have a positive charge. And then you want the inside of the cellular membrane to have a negative charge, and the outside of the cellular membrane to have a positive charge. And then what that does is it creates a sort of a diode effect where it pulls in the electron clouds around the cellular membrane, and that charges the cell. So you need foods that enable the transportation of electrons and photons into your cell. And when you do that, that's how you create true energy. And everything else is just secondhand food, in my opinion. But yeah, you want to be in a ketogenic state. You want to be fat. You want metabolic flexibility. Mm-hmm. You want your body to have been in a ketogenic state before, so it understands how to burn fat. And when it understands how to burn fat, it gives you a little bit of lean weight. And our ancestral diet would have been seasonal. In the winter, it would have been mostly animal fats, animal meats, so heavy in fats and fat-soluble vitamins. And then as we began to enter spring and summer, there would have been more vegetation, would have begun to grow, and you would have increased the carb intake, but then you have had the increase in vitamin D, that which would have increased a lot of other sort of biochemical factors in the body that would mitigate the increased carbohydrate intake. So that's kind of why I think it's like, without going into the science, like, you don't even have to. If you just go to a farmer's market and get what's there, it's like, what's there? Because what's there is what's growing in your local land. And just something as simple as that can do wonders for your health. And that's without telling someone to to only eat meat, to only eat veg. Just follow that, and that's a good foundation to build off. And then you can be more targeted, like you said. Like sometimes you've got like these targeted days where you want to increase your carb intake. So you want to sort of replenish your muscle and liver glycogen levels, which is obviously going to fuel you for like high intensity workouts. Mm-hmm. There's other variables to take into account, but it's interesting just your journey, Brian. And it's good to see. It's good to see that it may have took a little bit longer than you were hoping for, and you may have sort of went for a few years in your early 20s where you wanted to be optimized as fuck and you ended up being the complete opposite. But yeah, but you got there in the end, man, and you went through the journey that you had to go through to learn the lessons you had to learn. Yeah. And now you're in a new place and you're thriving and you're optimal. And it's interesting to see, man. I've followed you on with your journey so far, and you're in good shape now, dude. I mean, not that you wasn't in good shape before, but I can see that you're making legit improvements in your physique, and not just your physique, but your mentality as well. Much more focused, much more directed, more spiritually aligned, much more open to these sort of subtle energies and how they affect us on all levels. And yeah, it's good to see, dude. And one of the things that I want to bring up, because this is a critical factor within all of this, putting diet aside, but adds into the photons that I was on about, is obviously your brand, which you co-own, which is Red Light Rising. So for people that don't know, Brian is the co-founder of Red Light Rising, and they produce a real high quality red light therapy device. And Brian, if you could give us a little bit of a rundown on, first of all, what the fuck red light is, why is it important, and what sort of effects it has on the body, and what have you seen so far from it? Like, what's your, like, how has it affected you and your customers?
Yeah, perfect. I mean, it actually ties, you know, perfectly into, you know, my story. Like I was saying, I was reading Dave Asprey, and for those that know, you know, Dave Asprey is a big biohacker. And I think he was probably almost single-handedly responsible for bringing biohacking more into the mainstream. You know, so when we talk about biohacking, of course, we're talking about things like red light therapy, cold water therapy, heat therapy in a sauna, wearing blue light blocking glasses or using technology to control the light in your environment. You know, things like, you know, taking certain supplements, certain targeted supplements, getting the proper sun exposure at the right time of the day. These are all little practices that, are termed biohacking. And, so I became aware of red light therapy through Dave Asprey, and, you know, I was doing everything else. You know, I do the cold showers, I do the sun gazing, I do, you know, saunas when I can, I spend time in the sun, I work out in certain ways. And I was, you know, James, my business partner, and I were kind of both ready to jump into the red light therapy world for ourselves as consumers, because, you know, that's the stage of my health journey where I was at. I always feel like a health journey is like, you know, you hear about something, then you learn about it, then you try it, then you, if it works, you keep it, and then you learn about the next thing. And then you try it, and then you keep it. So, you know, that's how we add all these wellness practices to our lives. So, yeah, we were getting ready to add red light therapy to our lives. And, you know, at the time, this is, you know, over a year ago now, there was only really one company on the market selling red light therapy devices. And it was so expensive. When I saw the price, I was like, oh, well, there's no ways I'm going to spend that amount of money on a light. You know, like, I understand the science, you know, everyone around me is telling me how good it is, but I'm like, for that amount of money, it's just not something I'm going to get into. So James, you know, James had the same idea. So we're like, okay, well, that's the end of the red light dream. And then, a couple of weeks later, James, you know, calls me up and he's like, man, I can't forget about this red light. I think I'm going to, you know, try and build my own and see what happens. So I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, so we teamed up together, and that's how Red Light Rising was born. So red light therapy, when people, you know, in the mainstream now, it's definitely creeping into the mainstream media. A lot of celebrities are using it. A lot of athletes are using it. A lot of doctors and scientists and other influencers are using it. So it's really creeping into the mainstream. And what we are referring to when we say red light therapy is we're referring to obviously red light is one of them, which is the visible light that you see when a red light is on. But we're also referring to near infrared light, which is invisible to the human eye. So these two wavelengths are obviously wavelengths of light which do come from the sun, but science discovered in the 1940s or so accidentally that red and infrared light therapy is very, very unique compared to the other wavelengths of light that come from the sun. So the other colors, and of course, you know, the X-ray, the gamma ray, then the far infrared light that comes from the sun. Red and infrared light is very unique in that it has the ability to penetrate the body up to a depth of 5 centimeters or so. So if you think 5 centimeters like going into your body, that's like penetrating your organs, your blood, your bones. It's going through your skull into your brain. It's going into your eyes, to the back of your eyes, hitting the optical nerve. It's going in your mouth, in your, you know, through your teeth, your tongue, like I say, into your organs, your reproductive organs. And what this light has been found to do when it penetrates the body at this depth is it brings light energy to the cells. So this red and infrared light is light energy. You know, light is an energy, and it hits the cells. And when it hits the cells of the body, you know, whichever cells they are, cells of the eye, hair, skin, teeth, gums, eyes, organs, blood, bones, anything, whichever cells they hit, there's many biochemical reactions, but there's two very, very important biochemical reactions that have been found and proven to be happening in the body. The first one is that we are seeing an increase in cellular energy production. So what that means is every single cell that gets penetrated by this red and infrared light is getting a little kick up the ass. It's getting a little boost of energy. It's as if the cell has, well, it is exactly that. The cell has more fuel to produce more ATP, which is the, you know, the cell, this energy at a cellular level. And when these cells produce more ATP, they're able to do their job better. Whatever their job is, whether it's, you know, part of the detox chain, whether it's part of building muscle, whether it's part of healing and repair and fighting off infection, whether it's part of rejuvenating the skin, making the hair grow, making the muscles grow through increased protein synthesis. Whatever the job of that cell is, it's doing it better with more efficiency. And the second important function that that's been proven by science is that there is an increase in anti-inflammatory enzymes that are released into the blood. So the red and infrared light penetrates the cells. It causes what we call hormetic stressor. So a hormetic stressor is just like exercise. You know, you lift heavy weights. It's a stress on your muscles. Your muscles get damaged and break down, but then they repair and they come back stronger and healthier. So it's a very acute stress. It's a very short-lived stress on the body, and it forces your cells of your body to come back bigger, better, and stronger by releasing these anti-inflammatories into the blood and this antioxidation enzymes. And then, of course, once these enzymes are released into the blood, you get this anti-inflammatory benefit all over the body. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man. What's the sort of wavelengths that these lights operate at? Do you know?
So there's a handful. There's more than a handful of wavelengths that have been found to be beneficial. But these particular ones were found to be very kind of local. So you know that isolates a certain wavelength that they found is good for the brain. Another one is particularly good for, you know, the liver, for example, but it doesn't seem to have any effect on anything else in the body. So what they did find was that there's two very specific wavelengths, and those wavelengths are the 660 nanometer, which manifests as red. You see it with your eyes as a red color, and the 850 nanometer, which is the near infrared, which is invisible. Now, what's amazing about these two wavelengths is that they have the broadest spectrum of benefits for the human body, proven by scientists time and time again in all these studies and all these research papers. So it's become industry standard across the red light therapy industry that these are the two most beneficial, these are the two most powerful wavelengths, and you know, therefore the most valuable. You know, you spend, you know, a fair amount of money on these lights, and you want 660 and 850 because that's going to give you the broadest bang for your buck, as it were, across the body, you know. So, you know, when you spend time in front of one of our lights, you know, we've got very big lights, very powerful lights. You stand in front of these, you know, naked, and you just let the light hit you. You let it hit your face, your skull, your eyes, your teeth, your lips, your chest, your heart, your lungs, your organs, all the way down to your genitals, your knees, your muscles. You just stand there and bathe in this red light because you're getting benefits everywhere across all the systems of the body at the same time. Everything's getting stronger and everything is benefiting from these anti-inflammatory enzymes. It's very powerful.
Nice, man. I really like that breakdown. With the so you said quite a lot of the physiological effects. Is there any effects on a mental level, on a spiritual level? Because at the end of the day, it's light. And that's what I was saying. Light, photons, light is the universe, man. Light is what creates everything. So, yeah, anything to add on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you say things like the mental level, you know, we know now, you know, we mentioned briefly earlier on in the podcast how the gut-brain connection, you know, and we know a lot of hormones, you know, some feel-good hormones, you know, the dopamine, the oxytocin, the serotonin are produced in the brain. But we now also know that a lot of serotonin is produced in the gut. That's why comfort eating is such a big thing, because you eat some food that you, you know, have an emotional connection to, it hits your stomach, and then you get this release of serotonin that actually starts in the stomach and goes into the bloodstream and then goes to the brain and makes you feel good. And you go, oh yeah, eating that tub of ice cream really makes me feel good. And that's how we get stuck in the comfort eating cycle. And of course, red light has exactly the same benefits, but without, you know, all the sugar and the calories. So red light, you know, promotes a healthy balance of hormone production. So in the case of mood and mental health, regularly using red light therapy on the face and the head and the thyroid and the chest area and the organs is going to promote the release of these feel-good, well, all hormones actually, but in this context, the feel-good hormones, you get an increase in serotonin, which, you know, is going to leave you in a better mood, you know. So one of the things we always recommend is using your red light first thing in the morning before heading out the door to face your day, because you're getting all those benefits we spoke about, you know, the energy and the anti-inflammatory stuff, but you're also getting that little release of serotonin. So you use your light for 20 minutes.
Interesting. This is something that's... Sorry, man.
Yeah, carry on. I was just ranting.
Yeah, this is solely my hypothesis on this. But if you were to target certain endocrine glands, which are going to be obviously where the sort of subtle energy vortex is known as the chakras lie, if you were to focus on those specifically and find the wavelength in which that complements them and optimizes them, do you believe that that would have, or do you say believe, do you think that would make sense in terms of being able to unblock like these sort of stagnant energy centers, our chakras, in order to open us up to more sort of increased spiritual awareness?
I wouldn't, that's not something that I personally kind of focus on, so I don't really have subjective experience with that. You know, from an objective standpoint, I would say definitely, because the way that this light works is that, you know, in the context of, you know, shining it on, you know, your endocrine glands, it's going to increase energy production. So they will produce the hormones that they're supposed to produce in a more efficient manner. And that, you know, then will translate into, you know, feelings of well-being, you know, better self-esteem, because we know that hormones are related to self-esteem. Self-esteem is related to hormones. If you have a bad experience and you feel bad about yourself, your feel-good hormones decline in your blood. So then you feel even worse. And then it's, you know, it's harder to pick yourself up out of the hole. So in that context, I'd say probably definitely yes, I'd say objectively speaking. And I have had one experience with a lady. I'm very skeptical of people who you know, talk very openly about their spiritual nature or their spiritual experiences amongst strangers, as it were. Because I always feel like someone who is, you know, spiritual and connected to higher self and things like that, they have no need to talk about it, because they exist in that space. Do you know what I mean? So I'm always weary of someone who you meet off the bat who then straight away launches into, oh my God, I've had these out of body experiences and I'm connected to God and I'm channeling and I'm intuition. And, you know, I've just met you. Why are you telling me this? You know,
what was your intuition like with me, Brian? Because I'm pretty sure I may have done the same thing.
No, but you've got at least a science base. I mean, when we first met, you were talking about science and you were talking about superfoods, which I was already into. So there was nothing, you know, I didn't think anything weird came out of your mouth. But you, like we were saying yesterday, you're walking the walk. Do you know what I mean? So like in this, yeah, in this example I was about to tell you about, right? So we were doing a light show. We were doing a demo and we had like, you know, 12 full stacks set up, you know, and our full stack is a massive 1.2 meter light, very bright, very powerful. And the hundreds of people had been coming in and out that day and standing in front of the lights and going, oh, wow, I love it. Feels really warming, blah, 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 this and that. And then some woman came up to me that was very overweight, you know, and in my opinion, my subjective opinion, obviously doing something wrong because she was not in a good state of health, but she claimed to be, you know, very spiritual, very this, very that. And I just don't think, I don't know, when you're, you know, putting on body weight like that, there's something that's out of alignment. Anyway, so she comes to the stand and she's like, oh, what you got here? I said, oh, no, this is red and infrared light therapy. Like, take a step inside the booth and I'll tell you all about these lights. And as soon as she walked through the curtains into the light room, she nearly fell over. She nearly fainted. And she was like, oh my God, what is this? What is this? And she put her head in her hands and she was all like out of breath and, oh my God, this is overwhelming. Oh my God. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I've never had this reaction before, you know? So I quickly shuttled her out and she was like, oh my God, that was so overwhelming. Oh, and then what did I say? She said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sensitive to energy and to light. Oh, that was very overwhelming. Very. And that to me, I mean, she could have been telling the truth, but that to me, my bullshit meter was like, oh my God. Okay. So, you know, I don't know what she was manifesting or what was going on there, but I was just like, oh my God, no. Okay. So then I said to her, okay, perhaps red light therapy isn't for you. And she said, no, I think so. Thank you very much. And she walked off and it was just a, I don't know, like my bullshit meter was going crazy, you know. That's just the experience I have every now and then with these spiritual people, you know, or, you know.
Yeah, if they're super sensitive to that red light, then they should also be super sensitive to the blue light that's blasting them in the face on their mobile phones, on the TV that they
there
watch, and all of that as well. You can't just be pick and choose what light's going to affect you. Every part of the light spectrum affects you differently. Interesting. But that was a good breakdown, Brian, of the red light. Like, obviously I've gave it a shot as well when I was over yours that time, and I really enjoy it, and I know that there's so much benefits to it, and phototherapy itself is going to be one of the, I say it's an emerging science. It's not really an emerging science because it's been around for a while, but I think it's just becoming more appreciated. Yeah. And now that there's technology that's commercially publicly available, I feel like it's gonna boom, and then the influencers as such are starting to jump on board with it, and it's just getting to a wider audience now, and more bigger names are really pushing the message out there, the benefits it can have. And yeah, it's fascinating. So for everyone that's listening, just check Brian's Red Light Rising out. It really is, like, Brian himself, like, as you can hear, he's saying this from the heart. he's not a shady salesman that's trying to get you to buy his product. Like, this is legit. Yeah. And
I mean, this is you know, this is how we got into it, because, you know, like, James and I made our own lights. We made lights for myself, for James, and another friend of ours, and that was it. That was the end of it. And then a couple of weeks later, we were like phoning each other going, oh my God, like, this light's amazing. And it's like, oh my, and we were all like, yeah, I really feel it. I noticed this and that. I mean, when I started using the first red light we made, I was in a real, real, real bad place. I was, you know, really, really down in the dumps. I came out of a very important relationship that ended. I was in the middle of winter in the UK. I was living in a basement. It was dark all the time. I was doing a job that I didn't like. I was in a shit place. And I started using the red light. And within a couple of days, I was walking down the street whistling. And I was like, oh my God, like, you know, this is one of the big benefits, is an improvement in your mood. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And then I started using it, you know, like on, you know, I'd hurt a shoulder. I just started CrossFit at the time as well, you know, because I was finally starting to get to a place where I was feeling strong enough to do something like CrossFit. And I had a little, you know, a sore shoulder from CrossFit. And what did I do? I put the red light on my shoulder, and the mobility and the tension in my shoulder was noticeably decreased within minutes of using the light. And then obviously ongoing treatment, it's worked absolute wonders for me. And that's when, you know, James and I were like, listen, like, we're both getting benefits. Let's see if anybody else wants these lights and get some benefits. And it's just, it's been crazy. You know, we have testimonials flooding in on our website, on our social media. We've got a handful of fantastic influencers that are, you know, injured and broken in their own ways and are reporting back to us with phenomenal benefits. And then they share it on their social media. And the crazy thing about it is, you know, I get emails every day. Hey, will this help with skin? Will this help with arthritis? Will it help with, you know, recovering after an operation? Will it help with this? Will it help with that? And the answer is 99% of the time, yes, it will help. It'll help. And that's what people don't like realize, is that it's good for everything, because everything gets a boost of energy. Everything gets anti-inflammatory benefits. So like you know, and most of your listeners will know, inflammation is the root of all problems. So if you beat the inflammation back through a healthy diet, through a, you know, good exercise, through, you know, positive mental attitude, through having pleasant experiences with loved ones, and through things like biohacking and red light therapy and cold water therapy, all this beats the inflammation back and calms the body. And when the body is calm, the body comes into, you know, a state of hormesis, where when there is no permanent fight or flight response in the body, you come into the parasympathetic nervous system and you're calm. You rest and digest. Everything repairs. Everything heals. And red light therapy is one of a handful of shortcuts to repairing the body.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. It's like just to kind of zone in on one of the things that you said then, it's like to do with information that's being sort of it's now starting to be attributed and believed to be the sort of one of the causes, root causes of many misalignments, conditions, illnesses. And yeah, just in general, it's like with the, like you said then, with your mood changing all of a sudden, it's like the whole serotonin theory of depression, like that shit's starting to collapse and implode in on itself. And they starting to, like, the science is starting to show that it is like an inflammatory illness, that if you've got depression, it is due to inflammation somewhere within the body. And yeah, I just feel like this sort of technology can help so many people with so many different levels of issues that they may be experiencing, and it's definitely worth checking out.
Definitely.
But what do you feel like is the future for Red Light Rising? Have you got, like, what, you've got a few machines out at the moment. Yeah. What's the future?
Well, you know, we kind of started as a company making devices for the home user, you know, so for someone who's got a little bit of, I mean, you don't even need that much space, but basically you're into your wellness enough that you're thinking, okay, this is the next level for me. You know, I'm exercising, I'm eating right, I got my head straight, I'm not spending time with people who are bringing me down. You know, I'm kind of hitting all the goals I want to hit here. And now I want to, like you say, get optimized as fuck. So we designed lights for those people that you can use in the comfort of your own home. You can get a clinical grade red light therapy treatment within 20 minutes in the comfort of your own home. So that's our main market now, is the home user. But of course, now we're getting, you know, wellness centers, CrossFit gyms, yoga studios. They're all starting to say, we want a bigger machine. We want more lights. We want to do a whole room in these lights. So, you know, I think, you know, we need to answer the call, really, and start looking at more devices, particularly for commercial use, you know, for these gym owners and these yoga studio owners. And we've got a couple of other ideas of other kinds of lights we want to start developing, because, like I was saying, it's good for everything. So it's about making the lights as easy to use as possible. You know, at the moment, we have a three lights, as you mentioned. We've got the small target light, which is it's a very large spotlight, but it, you know, it can pop into a backpack, it can pop into a handbag, and it's you know, designed for targeted use, or maybe for the lower budget user. It's a lot more affordable, of course. It's about £79 right now. You're still getting the same benefits. You're still getting fantastic benefits. You're just getting them over a smaller area at a time, as it were. And then our next model up is, you know, is a 2-foot light. It's kind of like called the half stack. It's a tower of lights, a 2-foot tower. And this is, you know, again, very, very powerful. You're looking at £395 now. But what you're getting there is a larger surface area. So you're getting, you know, from your, just as a reference, from your ankle up to, you know, just above your kneecap, maybe the middle of the thigh, depending how long your legs are. And you're getting this, you're getting all this energy and anti-inflammatory benefits over a wider area of your body in the same amount of time. So you're just getting more benefits that are compounded. And then the next light up, the full stack, which is, you know, 1.2 meters high, very big light, very powerful. And you're just getting, you know, you're getting covered in light from head to toe, basically. And again, you're just getting even more benefits, more coverage in the same amount of time you will spend with the smaller lights. But we want to make a few other products. You know, I won't say too much right now, but a few other products for very specific conditions. You know, we have a lot of people reaching out to us. I need this, I need that. You know, and it's, everyone's so varied, it's difficult to make a light for everyone, but there's definitely a couple of very common conditions that we can make a very specific device for. So we're working on that. And I just want to have fun with it. You know, I just want to have fun, keep connecting with the audience, keep connecting with our clients and our affiliates and our influencers, and just spreading the word. You know, there's a couple of other red light therapy companies out there right now, and you know, it's easy to get all worried about your business and worried about your money. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's, look, I just want people to feel better. If you hear this podcast and then go buy a light from someone else, you know, as long as you feel better, that's fine. As long as you're getting a good product, that's okay. So I just want to have fun with it. Spread the word of red light therapy and biohacking and health and wellness and positive mental attitude and all these other wellness practices that I believe in and that I use myself. And just, you know, be an inspiration to people. You know, it's not about just getting people to buy my lights. It's just about getting people to feel better about themselves, to live up to what they wish they want to be, what their ideal vision is. And Red Light Rising is one of the channels that I have to, you know, express my passion for wellness and spreading the word.
Damn, bro. Yeah, that's right in alignment with your message, man. It's an honorable path to walk. It's not the easiest, man. Like when you're out, it's like it's almost counterproductive when you're there saying, yo, it's your health. If you go and buy it from someone else, then hey, I just want you to be healthy, which I do the same with my shit. It's like I tell people what to get and what to do. And at the end, I still run a health supplement business. And it's like, yeah, I would like you to buy my shit. But at the end of the day, I'm not a business person as I am a human, and I want to help you guys. And yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, yeah. Right? And it's good, man. It's good to be in contact with people that have that same similar conscious awareness when it comes to just wanting to help people. That's what we're here for. And anyone within the health, wellness, fitness industry, they should all be like that, and they're not. They're just, there's a lot of shady cunts in there, and it angered me for a long time just coming face to face with them, because a lot of the people that you look up to, these big brands that you think have your interests at heart, they haven't got your interests at heart. They've got their profits at heart, and it's a tough pill to swallow. And that was one of the reasons why I made this brand, let alone all the other shit with what I wanted to do with the business. But one of it is just to be the one of the voices where people can actually trust what I'm saying, because it's coming from my heart, not from my bank balance. And it's yeah, it's good, dude. It's good that you're taking it, that you've got a similar sort of operations system in your brain that's running. So it's good. And other than that, Bri, we're starting to tie this one in a little bit. I've had you for an hour, which is great. Cool. So I just want to, I always ask every guest that I have on who, if they could drop one practice or protocol that they believe is like their pound for pound best for either physical, spiritual, or if it, hold on, physical, mental, or spiritual optimization, and gives you the most bang for your buck, but obviously not including your red light because you just described that. What's and apart from the carnivore diet, because you broke that down, what's been a big game changer in your life?
Well, that's an amazing question, and we're going to need another hour for me to answer that. yeah, it's different for everybody, you know. So it depends where you are in your journey. So, you know, first thing I would say is I would never tell anybody out the gate red light therapy is going to solve all your problems. It's not. You know, you need to get everything else in line first. You can't be eating sweets and cake all day and then expecting red light therapy to give you a six pack, you know? So depending where people are, you know, if someone is in the position that I was, where I was identified with my vegetarian identity, I would say you have to have the courage and you have to be brave enough to accept that maybe it's not working for you. You know, so some bravery, some courage, because as you know, in the vegan community, if you start eating animals again, oh my God, you are out of the gang. And then you are evil, you know. So that's why I say people have to be brave, because it can be very intimidating leaving your tribe because your health is suffering, you know. So diet is definitely the biggest game changer for me, is like, you know, if your body's not working right, it's going to be hard to get your mind working right. It's going to be hard to get you, you know, on your spiritual path. But equally, you know, something that really helped for me is, you know, listening to motivational speakers, as cheesy as that may sound, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago, I stumbled across a motivational speaker, a guy called Les Brown. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he's this, you know, big, fat, black American guy, very charismatic, incredibly charismatic. And he just has hours and hours and hours of motivational speeches on YouTube. And I stumbled across this guy and fell in love with his whole vibe, his whole charisma, and then spent literally days and days and days, week upon week, month upon month, listening to his positive self-talk over and over and over again until I brainwashed myself. I brainwashed myself out of the whole, like, that's a bad idea, that is shit, that is stupid, that's never going to work, he's a dickhead, I don't like this, that isn't good, I don't like that, to, yeah, that's possible, yeah, that sounds great, oh, that's amazing, that's fantastic. I literally brainwashed myself by listening to Les Brown and a handful of other guys over and over again. I changed the self-talk that I had in my head. I changed the self-talk, and then I started to believe in myself, and I started to believe that I could do whatever was necessary at the time. You know, at that time I had to work, you know, 12, 13 hours a day as a carpenter, which I despised, but I realized that I had to do it to reach a certain goal. So with the help of a motivational speaker, I started to tell myself all day, every day, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And it changed everything for me. And it's almost, you know, it's one of the things that's brought me to where I am. So, you know, if someone's, it's difficult to recognize your own self-talk. That's another big thing. People, you know, aren't good at recognizing their own bullshit that's going on in their head. You have to become very still and very quiet to realize that, you know, you're telling yourself all these dumb negative things. And then once you realize that you are telling yourself these dumb negative things, then you have to consciously decide to fill your brainwaves with positive stuff, you know, whether that's, you know, talking to positive friends or indeed, you know, motivational speakers on YouTube. It was groundbreaking for me, and really, I really encourage people to get into it.
Yeah, that's solid, man. It's it makes, you know, I mean, I do very similar stuff. Like, it's essentially an affirmation that you just keep repeating to yourself over and over again, and you begin to tap into that subconscious behind the scenes, the controller behind the scenes, and you begin to bring the subconscious into light. And yeah, that shit's not woo-woo anymore. It's true. And if you find someone who you resonate with their message, then just keep listening over and over and over and over and over again. And eventually, as with anything, it's consistency and persistency, and you begin to reap the benefits and enjoy the fruits as they come to fruition of the labor that you've put in to build that healthy foundation of mental health. And it's one of those that goes over most people's heads. Yeah. It's kind of like a pun. When it comes to like when it comes to that shit, like people don't understand and they kind of like underappreciate the and underestimate the power that mental health has. When it's, I think what it is as well is that I think mental health's always looked at in a negative perspective, like it's mental illness instead of the positives of optimized mental health. And I think that's something that's going to be come to light. And one of the things that you just triggered me then when you were saying that you listen to it over and over, and when you're listening to your thoughts to be able to quiet your brain, one of the thing, one of the, this is one of the things that always lingers in my head, because we all get it. We all get it when we have those thoughts in our head. There's something, and it's like we're not the thoughts. We are the observer of the thoughts, and you got to align yourself with the observer and not get triggered by the thoughts themselves. And one of the things that I always tell myself is that you got to like watch your thoughts for they become words, and then you watch your words for they become actions. Watch your actions for it becomes habit. Watch your habits for it becomes your character. And watch your character for it becomes your destiny. Just shows that you... Man, I'm going to charge for that one. I'm going to... If you use that again, Brian, and I hear of it...
Is it copyright? Fuck.
I'm going to copyright it right now. But yeah, it's one of those things, man, that such... That a small thing as your thought can have massive implications in your life. And it's in like, that's a, no one said that before on the show about having those sort of, yeah, the affirmations, the self-talk. And I think that's very important. It's get control of the control room that's upstairs. And I think everything from there will begin to play out in a more favorable manner for what you want to achieve in life and just the present moment in general. And it's, like you said, man, it's one of those things that if you get this negative self-talk, the negative self-talk is always going to be attached to two things. It's going to be attached to the past, or it's going to be so your fear, like your kind of guilt and shame at the past, or it's going to be attached to your anxiety at the future. And when you're operating in that mind frame, you're operating out of the subconscious. You're in autopilot mode because the subconscious keeps you in the past, and it keeps you attached to the future. Whereas you can only be truly conscious if you're living in the present moment. And when you're living in the present moment, that's when you have infinite possibilities available to you, and anything can happen. You can manifest anything you want. That's one of the prized traits and abilities of humans. And it's a little bit late now to go down the rabbit hole of our place within the universe and how other species, let's say, look at humans. But let's say they're gel. These other species are gel of our ability, because we have the power to manifest our reality. And that all is built upon a healthy foundation of self-belief and positive self-talk. And keep you locked in the moment, brother. And before we go, Brian, we were saying as well that for everyone that's listening that was like, shit, Brian just fucking sold me a red light device. What did we come up with, that we had a little code that we an exclusive code that we were going to throw out to people, and if they were interested.
First thing I'll say is that anybody that's curious about red light therapy at all, they can reach out to me personally anytime. They can get hold of us on redlightrising.co.uk. That's the website. Red Light Rising on Facebook. At Red Light Rising on Instagram. I personally answer the Instagram direct messages and the emails as well. And they can get me as well on at brian.goal if they want to speak to me. And yeah, if anybody's interested and they're convinced they're ready to buy, they can use a exclusive 10% discount code, which is Primal Red. That's PRIMALRED, Primal Red, one word, at checkout. And that's going to scoop them a limited time only 10% discount. Juicy.
Yeah, solid, brother. And yeah, give out all your details or your social handles. That's good. Other than that, my man, I think we're good to close this one up for the day. And yeah, it's been great listening to you. Well, great listening. It's been great chatting to you, mate, as always. And it was been wanting to make this happen for a while. So good for it to come to fruition. And yeah, just as we always do, man, we always chat shit like this. And it's good just to, have you on. And I'm sure I'll have you on again in the future. And the future's bright for both of us, dude. So a lot of growth coming both of our ways. And for everyone that's listening, guys, this is Brian was saying that you needed the motivation of people getting out there, talking the talk and walking the walk. This is exactly what I try to do in my own life. And I know that Brian does as well. And yeah, you don't have to listen to everything we say. You might think that we chat shit on a few things, but we do embody what we talk about. And we really do try our best to not shit talk you or try and con you out of like your money. Like the products I make are 100% legit. The products Brian makes is 100% legit. And we're in this with an open heart, and we're hoping that you would appreciate that and see that as a reflection of our motives in this. And thanks for tuning in, guys. Brian, man, thanks for coming on. That's episode 28. As always, guys, stay woke as fuck, and I'll catch you on the next episode.